97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
A lot of them, they get out and talk about the Russian hoax. Oh, there's a Russian. Oh, there's no. Come on, what are you talking about? There's no connection between, you know, this and Russia. And Russia's not trying to do, but always apologizing for Russia, always apologizing for Putin.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, buddy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Talking a little Russian disinformation, are you?
Well, you know, I had to play that bite from Joe Scarborough, who claims that whatever Merrick Garland announced yesterday is clear evidence that they were right all along, that the Russians were conspiring to get Donald Trump in the White House. Vladimir Putin came out yesterday and endorsed Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Listen. You know, this we'll see, and to be a journalist and be fair about this, we'll see what else bears out of the evidence of their efforts. But on the face of it, I think what most people took away, I mean, as soon as he said that the Russian infiltrators had spent $10 million in an election cycle where both campaigns are likely going to spend $1 billion. It reminded me of the Austin Powers movie where Dr. Evil puts his pinky up to his mouth and says, $1 million. Like, this is small ball. This is small potatoes that we're talking about, but yet they put such a huge emphasis on it as if it was going to have a tremendous impact. And you know, look, a $10 million effort in a $2 billion election campaign probably isn't going to have much of an impact. However, I will give them credit. I'll give Garland credit for I kept thinking, when's Iran coming in? Because Iran's not only trying to influence the election, they're trying to kill Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what does it tell you when you have Putin and you know, Iran wanting to support, like, our enemies want to support Kamala Harris? That should tell people something.
Yeah, well, you know, they're picking their favorite horse, so good on them. They're free to do whatever they want, but they're not part of this election cycle, so stay out of it, buddy. I think the other thing that hasn't gotten much attention that's worth noting is, you know, the lack of confidence in DOJ and FBI has to be, and I can't cite the number, but it's got to be at an all-time low for obvious and glaring reasons. But, you know, the day before the big press conference yesterday, they indicted dead people. They indicted, you know, the Hamas. They said, we're indicting the Hamas folks. It's like, okay, you indicted Ismail Haniyeh, who was assassinated, Mohammed Deif, who was assassinated. So I'm not sure exactly what purpose it serves to indict bad guys when they're already dead.
Right. No, I would agree with that completely. And speaking of the Hamas, I mean, they've just done it to act like it's been 11 months. Why didn't you hand down some indictments 11 months ago when they first killed all these Israelis and abducted these Americans and all that stuff? It's window dressing for the DOJ, in my opinion. But I did find this bite this morning. Griffin, I know you've covered it in the past. I don't know if you covered it yesterday or not, but there were more protests on campus when some kids showed back up this week. And up in New York, somebody found a Jewish student outside watching these protests, and this was what he said.
Kamala is the one who said she sympathizes with the human emotion of these protesters. What are you sympathizing with? Terrorism? Joe Biden, I mean, where is he? Has he made a speech about anything? I mean, an American just got shot in the head. Where is everyone? Where's the accountability? I just don't get it anymore. And you know what? I might be going off the lam here. If you're Jewish and you vote for Democrats, you're crazy. I'm sorry. You're insane. Kamala is the one.
He just kind of went sideways on him. I don't blame him for feeling that way. The president's been on a beach somewhere when all this is going on.
I think that sentiment is shared by a whole lot more Jewish students than just him. And, you know, our reporter, my colleague Alexis McAdams, has been doing a great job up there in New York on Columbia's campus reporting on this. And, you know, another student that I saw interviewed that broke my heart. You know, in full disclosure, Mark, I have my youngest daughter. I just dropped off a month ago at University of Miami to start college. You know, I'm dealing with daily text messages and phone calls because it's tough for the kids. They all miss their friends from home, and you go through the normal things and you tell them, get out, get involved. And she's finally getting to meet some other girls and get to go out and do things together. And these are the challenges that most college kids should face. But
right.
Alexis interviewed one student, and this poor girl was like, I came to college. She also just started. She's like, I want to be worrying about going to parties, not worrying about being attacked and spit on and worried about my safety. I think the Wall Street Journal has an editorial board piece today with the title, Welcome Back to Protest University. Will college officials tolerate the anti-Semitic disgraces of the spring? And I would recommend it for all of our listeners to read it today, because it really lays out the fact that anti-Semitism has just been completely excused.
Yes.
and discarded and omitted with all of these college campuses where we're seeing it pop up. DEI, except for anti-Semitism.
Right.
That's okay.
Well, didn't a bunch of members of Congress sign some letter that basically said to all these universities, including Columbia University, we want to see step by step the actions you're going to take to prevent this from happening again? I don't know what came of that.
Well, that's a good question. I don't either, and I remember that happened. I will say, and the Wall Street Journal points it out, that, you know, at least UCLA gets a little bit of kudos, because UCLA, remember back in the spring, they set up the Jew exclusion zone.
Oh, yeah.
And the courts got involved and said, not okay. And they shut that down, and now they won't be able to have even encampments or whatever. We'll see how long that holds. But I just, you know, the last thing a kid going to college should worry about if they're Jewish is their safety. And the last thing parents should be worrying about is the safety of their kid when they send them off to these schools that, you know, look, the joke in my house is, because Miami's a highly expensive school, and, you know, they pay us in peanuts here at Fox. We do okay, but, you know, we're reporters. But like, the joke with my wife and I is, you know, people say, how are you adjusting to being an empty nester? Because our eldest daughter's out of college and moved on. And I said, well, is it an empty nester if you go broke trying to pay for college and are homeless? Like, I'm an empty nester without a nest. And you know, I say that jokingly to put in perspective that there's, it's just unbelievable that we've gotten to this point where safety and permitted anti-Semitism is an issue on any college campus in America.
Right. No, that's a great point. I mean, just do the flip test. Imagine having a black free zone set up on a campus somewhere. They would never allow that. A Muslim free zone set up on a campus. And yet they were willing to look the other way when somebody set up a Jew free zone on campus. Then they had to get the courts involved. I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, and, you know, there are 4 American Israeli hostages now in captivity more than 300 days that are possibly facing the same fate as Hirsch Goldberg Polan. And at this very moment that's a reality, you have school officials trying to figure out whether or not they're going to protect students. You know, Jewish students who are traumatized right now, simply not by what's happening on the campus, but watching what's developing in Israel right now, would be given a pass for being upset about it, let alone worrying about it coming home on their campus, where either hateful in worst case or ignorant in the best case have fellow students that are attacking them.
Wow. It's just an amazing that we're watching this in real time. Griff, appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And by the way, stay tuned to my reporting. I've been working on that Tren de Aragua, that Venezuelan gang that's popping up all across America, from Aurora, Colorado to New York, now in Dallas, apparently, in criminal activity. Trying to get more on that. Bring it to you when we get it.
Excellent. Well, we'll look for it, Griff. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have
all
a
right.
Weekend.
You bet. Yep. That's yeah, I'll watch for that. I saw a meme the other day that they were sending a group of motorcyclists out to Colorado to take care of that problem.
Yeah. It's crazy. You see the video of these gang members with guns walking around apartment to apartment. It looked like they busted in one of the doors.
I know.
Collecting the rent or something. The whole thing is crazy and weird.
Get more at 971talk.com.